I'm Katie McKinley, and you are listening to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. I have been existing in a world of art, sewing, and other various forms of creativity my entire life. Along my crafty journey, I've collected quite the group of talented characters that I get to call my friends. Instead of keeping their wisdom and wit all to myself, I'm using this podcast to bring them to you. Behind every piece of art is a human being who went through a range of successes and failures in making and in life, and I'm here to share their stories. Welcome back to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. Today's guest is an absolute star. My girlfriends and I seriously talk about how incredible we think she is all the time. Not only is she a phenomenal sewist, but she's also kind, thoughtful, goofy, gorgeous, and an amazing photographer. All the things. All the good things. I came to know her through the sewing community. Shocking, I know. It's kind of where all of my friends come from anymore. Her style and creative abilities have always stood out to me, and it's been such a joy to watch her grow and thrive in all aspects of life. Please join me in a warm welcome of Becca Utzler. She is the owner and designer behind Black Sheep Fabric, an online custom fabric store. And more recently, she is most known for being the face and talent behind It's So Becca on Instagram and TikTok, where she shares her cottagecore, homesteading, Hobbit-esque style in the most dreamy way possible. Welcome to I Can Make That, Becca.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for all the compliments to you.
Wasn't expecting that. Hype me up. Well, before we even begin to dig into the incredible images that have shot you into fame, let's first talk about your background and what led you to this point in life. What is your creative origin story? How did you get into sewing and creating?
So it's actually kind of funny. About 5-6 years ago, my husband and I were living in the middle of nowhere. I was in college and we had been married for a few years. I was still doing photography, but just not as often. And he told me that I needed to get a hobby. And I was like, I do have a hobby. And he said, well, you need to do something else because you're always saying you're bored. And I tried a few things. I had crocheted and done knitting. But when I got pregnant, I decided I wanted to sew cloth diapers. So I started sewing cloth diapers for Rorik. And he's my oldest son. And then it just kind of escalated from there. I started sewing and posting in cloth diaper groups and selling. Do you remember those? Like where people would make stuff and sell them on Facebook, like way back in the day.
Yeah, it was a different world back then. It seems like it's evolved way beyond that.
I know. So like I would post in those groups where they would auction diapers and started doing that. And then I had people asking me if I sewed clothes. So I started sewing baby clothes and then started sewing adult clothing. And then, of course, I got into strike sewing, which really took off. And I sewed for way too many groups and got way overwhelmed. But it was a lot of fun.
You mentioned photography, and that was definitely a question I was going to ask you. Do you have a background in photography? Like, how are you scoring all of these incredible shots that you take?
Yes, I do. I started taking photos for people back maybe my sophomore year in high school. I was like almost 16, and I would take photos for seniors and then eventually started doing family portraits. And when I got out of high school, I did wedding photography. I worked with a photographer who did like conceptual fine art photography, and he kind of dabbled in like nude fine art, which was kind of fun. So we did that. And then I continued on doing senior portraits and weddings until I had Rorik. And once I had a baby, it got a lot more difficult to take photos of other people because I couldn't get away as often. But I have been doing it for, I guess, 13 years now.
Oh my gosh. Is there anyone that heavily influenced your creative journey or your photography journey? Is there someone that, you know, started you in that, or did you just pick it up yourself?
There's not anyone in particular. I started in high school. Like, do you remember MySpace days when you would hang out with your friends and like go take photos for your MySpace? that's kind of where it started. And then I got a DSLR. My boyfriend at the time, his parents had a pawn shop, and I picked one up there for super cheap. It was like a Canon Rebel, you know, the starter camera that most people had in high school. And I just fell in love with it, and I continued doing it and upgrading equipment as I went. And of course, I don't want to share all of my photos from back then because, woo, some of them were bad, but that's all a learning curve. But yeah, just in high school, taking photos with my friends was really what kind of started it.
My husband and I, we did photography for a little while there. There was an era of our life that we were photographers. Well, it was really his business. His name was on it, but I was doing all the editing and everything in the background. But we used to shoot, we did a couple of weddings, and that's work. Wedding photography is work.
I know. Yes, it is so much work. And I didn't realize how much went into it until I did one of my first weddings. And I was there for probably 13 hours. And I only charged them, I don't even know, like $600 for the whole thing. And I thought, I definitely need to be charging more because it is so much work. You hardly eat. Like, you barely get to pee. There's just like so much to do. And then you come home with thousands of photos, and they're, I mean, that's their biggest, one of their biggest days of their life. And if you miss an important shot, you know, that is just gone. So yeah, you know that it's very stressful. Wedding photography is very stressful, but it is also so much fun to get to know people's families and just, you know, watch their families evolve, because later I would get to do like their family photos and prior to their engagement photos. So you kind of build this relationship with them, which is really awesome.
It is. It's a lot of work, and you definitely did not charge your hourly rate for
that.
No,
I did not. I learned quickly.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a lot. I sometimes become one of the bridesmaids, I feel like, when I'm shooting a wedding, because I'm like helping, and you're not supposed to, I'm supposed to be capturing more, but I was helping like tie people into their dresses or like an emergency hair fix or something. I don't know. It's an experience in itself.
It is really fun. But again, yes, very stressful. I haven't done a wedding in, I guess it's been about 3 years. I did a few after I had Rorik. And then once I had Casper and then Hildy, they were both NICU babies, and it was just too hard. You know, there was just too much and not enough time. So I've stepped back from it for a while. Maybe I'll get back into it, but for now, I'm just kind of sticking to the self-portrait aspect of things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your business, too. You are the owner and designer behind Black Sheep Fabrics, which is an online-based custom fabric store. How did you get into the gig of being a custom fabric designer?
I just kind of made my way into it, I suppose. You know, I did strikes for probably 2 years before I decided I wanted to start designing fabric of my own. And a lot of the custom fabric, not every custom fabric group, but a lot of them were like Disney inspired or like licensed prints. And I kind of wanted to get away from that and add a little bit more whimsy and spookiness to it, which had been a lot of fun. I started like resourcing and looking for artists that I could hire to design my logo and to do the first couple rounds for me. So I spent several months just preparing and then learning how to make seamless designs. And once I did that, I just went full force and asked a lot of my online sewist friends if they would like to sew for me. And then it just evolved from there. So I didn't really have anyone, you know, invite me in. I just kind of made my way in, I guess. But it was really, really fun. And it's been interesting. You know, the pandemic made the fabric, custom fabric world a lot different. But it has still been a big joy to my life.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the fabrics are printed overseas too. So I'm sure when all of that mess happened with shipping and everything, it probably really slowed down and hurt the custom fabric world.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, 2020 was pretty good. And then 2021, when inflation happened and there were still a lot of people dealing with COVID and people were out of jobs, There just wasn't as much business. So, you know, it kind of slowed down. And then 2022 was even slower. But I see it picking back up, which is really a good thing. Since it slowed down last year, that's when I decided to start posting on social media for fun because I had more time than I normally would because the business was kind of slow.
Well, yeah, you've recently become a superstar in the influencer world. What do you consider the niche that you're part of? Is it cottagecore, Elvin, homesteading, like all of the above?
I don't know what people would categorize me as. Like, you know, there's this little thing you can put on your Instagram that says, like, describe yourself. And I just put a personal blog because it's just kind of like a conglomerate of things. I do think I fit in with like a lot of the cottagecore gals and then obviously the sewing community. And then, yes, like I'm a big Lord of the Rings nerd. So I kind of fit in with all of the hobbity people too. So I don't know what they would call me. I'm just a big nerd.
You haven't always been leaning that way in style though. Can we talk about the journey that your style has taken throughout your life? Because I see photos that you've shared where you were kind of like an emo kid.
Oh, yeah.
And when I met you, your style was a lot more bold and vibrant.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the path that your style has taken and how you got here, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, middle school is when I first started wearing like black, and I had these dicky like cut off capris I would wear almost every day with like a little chain belt and my black hoodies and paint my fingernails black, even though my dad told me I couldn't, Converse, you know, that whole thing. And then we went, you know, as time went on, I discovered like emo fashion, and that kind of got popular because before everyone called it like punk, you know, and then emo style kind of came around. So I started like the crazy spiky hair and adding in a little bit more color as like scene stuff came into play when MySpace was super popular. So like a lot of black, but also like edgy. And then when I got out of high school, I tried to like still keep that like, edgy vibe, but not look as, I don't know, not well put together. You know what I mean? Like I probably shouldn't be wearing an Elmo backpack when I'm 20. So I just kind of mixed in my love for like edgy fashion with like more adultish stuff. And then when I discovered custom sewing, like there were so many bright fabric prints, and I just kind of got into the whole rainbow everything for a while. And so I went with that. But I don't know, after a few years, it didn't really feel like me. You know, I'd look in my wardrobe and feel like I didn't have anything to wear. So I tried a few different styles. Post a lot of it, but I actually tried like Western clothing for like a year, and that is a whole nother story. But yeah, I even tried that and it was just not for me. And so I took a break from sewing, and about 9 months I didn't sew anything. And then I started sewing with woven fabrics and like found all of these people on Instagram that had like the most beautiful homesteady outfits. You know, they had like their little aprons and all of their linen dresses, and I've loved that. So I started making things similar. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Gunny Sacks, but they were really popular in like the 70s and 80s, like prairie dresses. So I started first making a dress similar to that, and then it kind of escalated, and I just started adding more ruffles to my wardrobe and more dresses, and realized how much more comfortable and how much more of myself I felt if I was wearing something that made me feel pretty. Like when I put on a dress, I instantly felt like myself. And before, like I would put on a hoodie and I wouldn't really feel like me. Does that make sense? Is that weird? It's probably weird. But yeah, it's been really interesting. I have went through many different style changes just trying to find what felt like me. And,
you know, that might change. But
for now, I feel like this is definitely a style I could stick with for most of my life, something that I could wear when I'm 80 and it still be like age appropriate, you know, but I still feel like myself.
And it fits into the life that you lead a little bit too, because you are really into homesteading and gardening and all that stuff. And I feel like those big aprons really come in handy when you're working out there. You live on a farm, is that right?
Yes. Well, I mean, it technically is.
How did you get into this farm life?
So my husband and I got married 8 years ago, and we moved out here on 40 acres in this little bitty house. And there was a barn here, but we didn't have any animals at first. And my mother-in-law and father-in-law actually built a house here too. So we're kind of like a multi-generational farm now. But my mother-in-law had dairy goats, and so she brought them here. And my husband, he had been listening to books by Joe Salatin. I don't know if you're familiar with the name, but he's like more into self-sufficiency and like how to raise your own food and, you know, avoiding toxins and all of these things. So we decided that we wanted to start like raising our own pigs so we didn't have to buy pork from the store, raising our own meat chickens, raising our own chickens for eggs, just things like that. So it's been a slow progression, but over the last several years, we've just been adding things to our farm. So we do have rabbits, we have chickens, we have dairy goats, a lot of dairy goats, and a lot of chickens for eggs. And yeah, it's just been really cool to be able to raise our own food. And of course, we garden too, so we don't really have to buy that much from the store anymore. And we don't really eat a lot of processed foods, which is something we really wanted to do for our children.
My husband is like constantly talking about wanting to have a more live off the land, like offbeat lifestyle.
Off grid, yes.
Yes, yeah. Not offbeat, off grid, yes. Yeah. Offbeat, maybe too. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere and around farms, and 4-H was part of my life and animals. And honestly, I would probably mold back into that pretty easily. But it is, I mean, I'm assuming you didn't grow up like that. So it's an interesting like life change to go from, you know, being a lot more focused on, I don't know, consumerism, I guess. And then definitely falling into the life that you're in now.
Yeah, it is so much different. Like my grandma made a lot of things from scratch. You know, she made her own bread and she had a garden and whatnot. But my parents divorced when I was really young. And when my dad got remarried, we lived around St. Louis and then we moved south in Missouri. And we did live in the country, but I did not want to live there for one. And I always told my dad, like, I'm going to live in the city. I absolutely don't want this lifestyle. Like, I kind of wanted a career as a model maybe when I got older. That didn't happen, but you know, I did not want to live in the country, and we didn't have any animals. Like we tried a garden one year and that did not work out. So just so much different. Like my parents didn't really make meals. It was usually my sister and I would make meals, and it was like tacos, spaghetti, and chili 90% of the time. And I don't know, we just didn't do anything like I do here. I spent some time outside, but I just didn't have an appreciation for it. I really wanted to be somewhere else. And I kind of carried that with me as an adult. When my husband and I got married and we moved out here, I just kept thinking, like, I don't want to live here. I want to be somewhere else where there's more people and, you know, a Walmart within an hour. Like, I don't have any stores anywhere near me. But the last several years, like, I've really come to appreciate just having our own, you know, piece of land that I can raise my children and let them run outside without worrying about, you know, other people. And just enjoying nature, going outside and finding mushrooms and identifying animals with my kids and just teaching them about the earth and how to garden. So it's definitely a lot different of a lifestyle that I grew up with, but I really appreciate it now as I've gotten older.
You have three little ones at home and somehow you're doing all of this and looking as put together as possible. And I think you homeschool them too, is that right?
Yes, I do.
What are the biggest challenges with being this full-time mom, homeschooling, work from home, you know, extravagant person?
I don't know if it's extravagant. Sometimes I'm a hot mess, but I try. The main thing is just like trying to stick to a schedule. So, you know, we get up, they have playtime, then we do school, we eat lunch, we go play outside, and just sticking to that schedule, because if not, I'm not going to get everything done on my list. And to be honest, I don't always get things done on my list, but I do try to have goals set for myself for like the week. You know, if I have some things I have to sew, I will set a deadline, like I need this done by Saturday. And, you know, I don't set myself down to have to do it on a particular day. Like I just do what I have to do with the kids, you know, do their homeschool and spend as much time with them as I can. And then everything else is just secondary, you know, because they're my main priority right now. They are reliant on me because they're still so young. But yeah, it is definitely just finding a balance. With the fabric, I only get pre-orders in about once a month. So whenever I get it in, I just take one day, hustle through it all, get it all packed, cut, shipped, and get it out. So it's not too labor intensive there. But yeah, and then with gardening, we just take the kids outside and they play in the garden and eat green beans out of the, you know, whatever we're doing. But it is definitely interesting. I don't know. I don't feel like I do that much stuff, but I guess I do to outside people.
I think whenever you start to list out things that you do on a daily basis, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I do do.
I know. And I try really hard to not like set a super busy schedule because I want my kids to not feel like they have a limit on when things need to be done and a little bit more freedom. I don't want them to have like the traditional school schedule. You know, I want us to be able to do different things, like to go on field trips and, you know, do cool stuff.
Have any of your kids shown any interest in any of the endeavors that you're in, like photography or sewing, or have you seen that they've got little creative sparks like you do?
Yes. So Rorik is 5. He's my oldest, and he has been asking to learn how to sew. So I've let him just do some straight lines, and we've been practicing a little. He doesn't have a ton of patience, so it's just as long as he wants to sew, I will let him. And I think that eventually he wants to sew clothes. He's been mentioning, like, I want to try to make that, but he's just not got the attention span yet to do it. But he loves to take photos, and anytime he sees my camera out, which is very often, he's like, oh, can I use your camera? So I'll usually give him my camera and let him wander around to take some photos, which is probably risky because, you know, camera equipment is expensive, but it's okay. He loves to take photos, and he has a little like point and shoot camera of his own, and he'll take photos of leaves and acorns and, you know, other little stuff. So it's been pretty cool to watch him grow and find his own interests. Now, Casper and Hildy are still pretty little, but we'll see. I hope so. I really hope to be able to make stuff with Hildy, especially, but any of my children, if they want to make clothes, like, I'm really looking forward to being able to teach them and to give them those skills so they can, you know, make clothes for themselves and their friends and their family someday.
Actually, I used to sew a little bit with Louie. He's 12 now, so he doesn't care as much about, he wants, you know, to go shopping more than he wants to sew with me. But actually, yeah, I know. Sad life that I live. But he, I think it was really great when he was little that he would help me sew a shirt for himself and then be able to wear it and feel that accomplishment of like start to finish creating something and then having the like functionality that goes with it too. Because I know a lot of people start their kids and it's fine, but they start their kids on things like pillowcases and it's like, well, I mean, that's cool, but like, I don't know, for some reason, having the ability to make something and then wear it is just so much more all-encompassing of like pride and joy that
yes.
I love it. So keep sewing with him. Hopefully get
I hope so. And you know, he's come into my office a few times and been like, hey, can we make a shirt? And so I'll just let him pick out fabric and we'll make him a shirt. He'll sit on my lap and like I'll obviously use the foot pedal for the serger, but we've been learning about like there's a knife on there so you can't put your finger next to it. So he'll like keep his hand to the side and he wants to like pull it through. But no patience there. But we're working on like showing him what equipment we use, how to put things together. So I think there's a desire there and I just am continuing to nurture it. And hopefully he will want to do the same things that I do.
Well, maybe one day we'll get to see him featured in some of your beautiful photos.
Yes,
with something he's made. I mean, when we've seen pictures of the kids, but like,
yeah,
I'm ready for this moment.
Yeah, me too. And he's already talking about like his Halloween costume. He said he wants to be Dracula. And I'm like, honey, it is March. But he's like, well, we need to make a costume. I need a cape just like Dracula. I'm like, all right. So I guess we're going to have a little Dracula come October.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I love, we do the Halloween thing too. We plan it out like a year in advance. So I'm with him on this one.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to do a self-portrait session like you do? I mean, you have so many gorgeous angles and shots and you're the one setting up the camera and then running back and taking a picture of yourself. So it's not like a quick pose and go.
Yeah. So I've gotten a lot better at it, but there are times like if the lighting is off, if it's super bright or something outside, you know, that can be a little bit more challenging. But I would say it takes me between 30 to 45 minutes, probably. I do have a wireless remote and I do try to like move around instead of just staying in the same position, you know, so all the photos aren't exactly the same. And when I first started like taking strike photos, I would just do a few different poses, but in the same spot so I could get them done in about 5 minutes. But I've been trying to do a little bit more creative poses and, I don't know, just doing what I love and making kind of artful pieces, some whimsical stuff in there. I used to do a lot of like conceptual self-portrait photography, which I haven't done as much of lately, but I'm glad that I get to kind of mix my passions together. So my love for sewing and my love for photography just get mashed together and have a baby, and then I have sewing photography. So yeah, I don't know, about 45 minutes ish, somewhere in there.
Well, speaking as someone who follows you almost to a stalking level, like we appreciate we appreciate all of the photos and all of the time that you put into things, because it is beautiful. Everything that you share is just so dreamy, and just it shows that you've thought it out and put a lot of art into it.
Oh, thank you. You're too sweet. I think some people think it's narcissistic, but I'm just trying to, you know, make art, and the internet is full of a lot of haters. So.
Yeah, that's part of sharing your life or your joy or your anything online. It's part of being an influencer, which I don't know if you consider yourself that, but I definitely would at this point. But it's like you put yourself out there because you have this excitement and you want to share, which is totally something that should be welcomed with open arms. But people just are, there are a lot of negative Nancys out there. I'm personally not capable of handling any mean negativity coming my way. Like, it impacts me greatly, but you seem to be pretty good at rolling with it, I think.
Well, I just try not to be hateful back, even when I want to, because you don't know what people are going through, and maybe they are just having a bad day, or maybe they're insecure. But I usually take it in a joking manner, because they don't know me, they don't know my heart, and they don't know anything about me. And usually they're just getting on there to get attention, you know. So sometimes I will make like joking videos. You may have seen some of those, like my people calling me Amish. I've made some funny videos about that. But I just don't let it get to me, because I know myself and I'm comfortable with who I am now, and I don't need their validation. So it's been interesting, because if you would have asked me 5 years ago, if somebody would have told me that I was ugly or that I look terrible or that my outfit's terrible, like I would have probably cried for a week. And as I've started to wear what I'm comfortable in and what feels like myself, like I have been more confident now than I ever have been in my life. And I really just don't care what they say.
People have really strong opinions about the influencer life, but it's just the world we live in now, you know, like it's social media. It's just a part of the game. And I don't think most people understand that it really is almost a full-time job to keep up with what you're doing. Communicating with your followers, promoting properly for your sponsors, just being accessible to people. What is it like being an influencer? Do you feel like this is a second job or a third job for you?
It is definitely a job. There is a lot that goes into it. And, you know, when I first started doing it, I was just making funny stuff mostly. And then once I started having people like send me products to advertise, I didn't realize how much goes into it. You know, I'd have some weeks where I would get 2 or 3 packages, and then they want photos of their products. And so, you know, I'd have to sit down and schedule out all these photo shoots, and then I have to make reels for all of these things. And it is just a lot of work. And then, of course, you deal with all of the buttholes that want to tell you that you're terrible. Most of the time, I don't get too many, but occasionally I will. So yeah, it is a big job, but it is also fun, as long as I try not to stress about it. And just tell people that, you know, it's going to take me a couple of weeks. So I give myself time to enjoy the process and to make something beautiful out of the photos instead of just rushing it. But yeah, I never would have thought of myself as an influencer, but I guess I am. Maybe this was funny, because I didn't expect my account to get to the size that it is. But I'm so grateful that it is, because I've met so many wonderful people.
But I'm sure, I think the cottagecore, I guess I'm going to keep saying cottagecore as if I totally understand all that, but it seems like that community is like growing exponentially. Like that's the new thing right now, that it's the style that everyone's kind of leaning towards.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it you know, about 2 years ago, and I've seen a lot more, I guess, cottagecore influencers in the last year than I did, you know, 2 years ago. And I guess I'm one of those people, you know, that kind of joined the cottagecore world, but you just don't realize how many people have the same passions as you. And it's pretty cool because a lot of these people do the same things that I do. You know, they take their own photos and a lot of them make their own dresses. And if not, like, still just all of the work that goes into it, like, they can take a dress and make like the most beautiful videos and the most beautiful photos. And so it's just really cool to be able to be a part of like so many different little communities online.
And you are releasing a sewing pattern soon. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, by the time this airs, it will have been released for a couple of weeks. So hopefully you're making tons of sales while this is ringing through people's ears.
Ooh, I'm crossing my fingers. I'm nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous. I mean, it's been tested, but I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're making, it's a pinafore, and it's in a couple different sizes, and it's a pretty simple sew, but it looks pretty adorable.
Yeah, thank you. It's just something that I've been wearing for over a year, and I've had so many people ask me where the pattern is or where they can get one, and so I finally decided to make a pattern for other people, and hopefully they love it as much as I do, because I'm literally wearing one right now. it's a super easy sew, and it's something that will hopefully stay in people's wardrobes for many, many years.
Is this something you plan on doing more of in the future? Do you plan on designing more patterns?
Yes, I hope so. We'll just see where life takes me, but I would love to release more similar patterns, maybe not more aprons, but some dresses and some kind of like history bounding stuff. So mix in the cottagecore style with like the historical aspect, and that's kind of where my love for fashion sits.
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to watching what you do and how you grow as a person and as a business. So I'm rooting for you in everything. Are there any big hopes or dreams for you in terms of business or your personal life coming up?
Just to be more self-sustainable. That's something, you know, my husband and I have been working on, and I've noticed huge changes in the last few years. So I hope we can continue to do that and maybe eventually get to the point where my husband can work from home, because right now he works a full-time job and it would be nice to spend more time with him. But outside of my home life, just hopefully designing more patterns, and maybe someday, this is just way out there, but I would love to like actually have a clothing line, maybe not one that I'm sewing because I'm only one person, but you know, to design some clothing to be able to sell that could be manufactured, I think would be really, really cool.
It would be amazing. And there are lots of companies out there that are capable of handling that for you. So,
yeah,
I see it happening, Becca. It's coming.
Well, thank you. We're going to put it out there. And hopefully it comes
true. Speak it into existence.
Yes, exactly.
My final question for you, because I really like spreading the love to more creative individuals in our lives, is do you have a favorite creative person that you're following on social media right now? Who makes you fangirl like we fangirl over you?
I do. And I don't know if you know her name, but her name is Rachel Maxey. And she is actually one of the first people I started watching, like when I was starting to get into this kind of style. I found her on YouTube and then realized she was on Instagram too. But yeah, Rachel Maxey, she is the best. She literally does everything. Like, she paints everything. She sews everything. She's been doing like all kinds of renovations to her barn to make it her studio. And it's just crazy. She is amazing. So like, I definitely fangirl over her. And also, I've had her reply to me on Instagram before, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she recognized me. Like, not that she did, but just really funny. So yeah, she's definitely been a huge inspiration to me, because she can literally make anything look good and just makes so many things out of nothing. And I'm so amazed by her.
Well, Becca, please take us out by using this moment to tell us how to find you online so we can support you and your future endeavors.
Yeah, so you can find my fabric group on Facebook at Black Sheep Fabrics, and I do have a website. It's blacksheepfabricspreorder.com, and on Instagram, it's SoBecca, and on TikTok, it's It's So Becca Official because my original TikTok account got hacked.
So
you can find me there. And then on Etsy, it is Shop It's So Becca. And I will have my pattern available for purchase on Etsy.
I will be sure to put all those links in the blog post that goes along with this so everyone can find you everywhere. And I'm just looking forward to seeing everything that you do in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun. And I appreciate you talking to me and getting a share of my life with all of you. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in to I Can Make That, Conversations with Creatives. Transcripts from this episode, along with links and more information about today's guests, can be found at www.wildandwonderful.com. See you next time.